Kings play?
Okay, for my part, I've been working on the design, on the implementation that we agree on.
Yeah.
I've made some progress, but there's a lot to do. Today, this morning, we discussed some small changes on the tablet enclosure that we can talk about today. But besides that, there's not much here.
These are some additional optimizations, really?
No, this is more like...
More like completeness.
Yeah.
We left out from the cells
okay.
Yeah, like special cases.
Well, I guess we could talk about it later after we review everything else.
But it makes the type of enclosure kind of weird because to avoid some extra computation, we have to traverse the queue of persistent points, and then we traverse the list of persistent points, and then we have to traverse the queue again. It's kind of weird, but it seems that it's the best we can do.
Okay.
And it has to be done in that specific order.
Yeah. Okay. And this is because of the way in which we manage persistent pointers now?
Yes.
The new way. Okay. All right. Yes. So I guess we could come back and talk about it some more. But your experience so far in implementing what we discussed last time, has it been smooth?
Yeah.
Or you ran into
No, so far it's okay.
Okay.
That one, I ran into the issue. It was not an issue that it could stop the implementation, but it was kind of tricky to do it smart.
Okay.
And since we're doing this to improve the performance, then this doesn't make sense just to implement it to have it working, because our goal is to improve performance.
Sure. Okay. Alright, so about the other code review and commenting and all that is done, or?
That got stopped for a while because since we needed to change the code so much, it didn't make sense to keep commenting there.
Okay.
But then the new code that I'm writing and
I see, yeah, that's... So you think that it's better to do this change and then go back and revisit that again?
It's going to change substantially. An important part of the code is going to change substantially. The way we handle the existing points, we have to close the closure. So...
I see. Okay.
Yeah, but I think we need to write down everything because it's getting complicated. Like the other day we figured out that, we know how, if we put all of those together, we know how to do it, but it's so complicated that there are not all the parts that we know about.
Maybe the best way is, once everything is working, is to put together a detailed presentation of how everything works.
Probably that could work.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea.
And then like presentation, you mean?
Actual presentation.
Actual presentation.
That could be a very, very long presentation.
Well, you start coarse-grained, right? And then maybe there are some parts which we need more attention. But I think it's a good thing to do to review the design and the implementation, maybe in a top-down approach, right?
Right.
And that would then once we have that presentation, then that will help us at least to have some starting point for understanding the whole implementation. And then with complex software, it is not possible to remember all the details all the time, right? But if you know at a high level how different things work together, then you know at least where to look more for details.
Exactly. Ideally, if you put the high-level idea and then some code pointers to code.
Yes. Not the details of the implementation of various things, right? But some at structure level of how the code is structured and what functions, right? Not how functions are implemented, but what they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
than how they do it. Is that I know that how they do it is, can be pretty complex.
I think something that you could do right since you're taking this sub-running in class.
Yeah,
I mean, that's part of the project, right? You describe the functionality at a high level and then...
Then you need to figure out a use case.
I think the software engineering exercise, now that everything is done, may be doable for a project like SoftVM, right? If you had to come up with this design in the very beginning before you wrote any code, I think that would be impossible. But now that we have a lot of things resolved, it actually makes sense to go and do the things that you do in software engineering.
Right?
Usually, the price are much cheaper than
software,
right?
Yeah. I mean, we could certainly avoid a lot of the details that you go into the software engineering documents, but going through the process, I think, can be useful. But yeah, I agree that having a presentation, I think it's just at the right level of abstraction. It's not like a detailed document which people can get lost easily. And if this presentation is structured to be top-down, right, say, okay, here are the major things that SoftVM does, and here is how, for instance, the major data structures are put together, and the major control flows in the code, not going through all the details, but just the high-level steps, right? If we do a presentation at that granularity, then it would be very useful, right? Okay, so, yeah, let's revisit this after we are done with the current implementation, which would probably have to be sprint, the spring semester, right? Okay, what else? Any other updates?
No, I'm not part of it.
Work on anything this week. So, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I guess the plan now is to continue and finish up what you started. And
so did you create the tag?
On the new branch?
No, but I'm only developing my computer though.
No, but you should create the tag. Anyways.
Well, I haven't committed, so it's okay.
Okay.
Okay,
make sure you create them, because next week we'll have the notification in class.
Yep.
And we should merge the source. That branch.
So I'm guessing by Monday we should have the decision, right?
Next week?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's possible that I'll know by Friday.
Yeah, exactly. You will.
Yeah, so I'll let you know once I know.
Okay.
I hope we make it this time, we'll see.
Yeah.
At least from the papers that are in my pile, it seems like SoftVM should make it.
Mm.
I mean, just looking at the quality of the papers.
So you said that some of the papers were already...
round one reject.
Yeah, they were round one reject, and there were others that were also going to be discussed.
There are some which we are discussing right now, whether they should be rejected or not for round two.
Okay.
And can you know if...
No.
Ours was round one reject. At least that...
We would know, yeah. We would know once we count the number of reviews. If the number of reviews are 3 or 4, then it's round one reject.
Yeah, but now we cannot know.
No, not yet. But we'll know on Friday. Friday we'll know the final decision, basically. And if not on Friday, then Monday. Yep. So I was also telling Daniel earlier, and I know we've discussed this many times, let's think about future papers, right? do you guys have anything in mind? I know we talked about a couple of possibilities. How do people feel now?
I was talking about this with Leonardo the other day, and we were thinking about the something in the direction of the out of court.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not 100% clear in my mind, but I mean, there has to be something that comes out of that, something significant that comes out of that. Because I think it's very nice that we're able to provide that feature.
Mm-hmm.
But we still need to wrap up with the page replacement part in order to have that complete.
Okay. How about the versioning angle?
Yeah, I think we can merge together those two features and provide some. I mean, it's not 100% clear in my mind yet, but if we put those two things together and compare it to the version that we have right now on possibly other systems, we have some novelty there, I believe.
Right.
Yeah. In my opinion, the problem is that it's not clear to me what's a novelty there, because it seems that it's a combination of known techniques applied to a problem that is not that novel. So that might make things a little bit difficult to solve.
Mm. I understand. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know, unless we have, let's say, really strong applications,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel it's going to be hard for us to sell these ideas standalone. For instance, one of the things that I was initially thinking of is if we have out-of-court capability, then we could think about implementing, let's say, a database or a file system like software that provides similar functionality but doesn't use any of the OS's built-in systems, right? And can we do something along those lines? And
yeah,
does it make sense to do something like that?
Yeah, I was thinking something similar to that line. It was providing, since right now containers are hard to manage. We don't have any interface to manage containers, but our a programming interface. What if we could come up with a file system for containers?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we create this file system module that allows you to manage containers or a container partition. And then somehow let applications more easily create containers and manage them. But there's not much novelty in that either.
Right. So I'm thinking more in terms of, okay, let's say you didn't have a file system,
mm-hmm.
How would you write your applications to use, let's say, a persistent heap functionality that Softbeam provides, right? I mean, it's a different way of thinking about application development, right? And we need to evaluate if doing it without file system or not without using a file system interface is better in some way.
That's the approach of MD heaps, right?
Yeah.
What I was thinking of using file systems is because you will automatically have some guarantees that you can provide in terms of the number of processes that can open the file and all that stuff, right? You can control that.
So yeah, I didn't quite understand what you're proposing. So you're saying,
because right now we have a lot of, I mean, it works multi-threaded, but not multi-process.
Okay.
Right? So we need to provide a way to have it work multi-process.
So you're talking about a container system or as opposed to a file system. So not really
exactly.
Using a file system.
Not really using a file system.
But building a container system.
Mm-hmm.
Where you could allocate, well, you don't really allocate memory, but you just specify root information to the container system that's running inside the OS.
Yes.
And then it goes ahead and does all the discovery and all of those things for you.
Exactly.
So move SoftPM into the OS, is what you're saying. In some respect.
In some respect, yes.
Yeah.
What do we gain by doing that?
That's what I'm not sure to me. I mean, we gain to answer some of the questions that we have with respect to how do we address sharing of containers and all that. But
well, persistent sharing, sharing
mm-hmm.
across processes.
Mm-hmm. That sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, I mean, what kind of applications, let's say, use storage substantially, and if we can rewrite those applications to use SoftPM containers instead of file systems or databases, right?
The same database is one of those systems.
What?
The same database management system is one of those systems that use the file system.
Yeah.
Or the rogue device, because they also have some implementation.
Right, so. So, I mean, if we think about it, we do have, let's say, a library database, which is SQLite using SoftPM. Can we, now it's serverless, right? So you cannot have multiple clients connecting to the database. Now, if you want to build a real database using SoftPM containers, then how would we go about doing that? And when I say, I guess I mean server database, right? Not an in-memory serverless database. Is that interesting? The other possibility is, changing file system metadata management. In other words, building a file system itself using containers. So applications can still create files, create directories, or whatever they need. But internally, we are using containers to do all the work.
How do we justify the name for that?
It's just some of the file system. So the justification should be in terms of performance.
And simplify.
Well, the interface is pretty, is going to be the same.
For the user, but for the file system developer, it's much easier, I assume.
Probably. But that's a little different direction, right? To sell simplicity for the file system developer. Alternatively, well, the other, I don't know.
Hello.
Yeah, the memory interface, the persistent memory heap interface for out of core, I think, which is what NVHeaps, for instance, talks about. How can we create something like that for SSDs, say, right? So with NVHeaps, it's mostly PCM.
Yeah, all those frames are designed for PCM because data is not even on the memory. It's just on lives on non-volatile.
Yeah.
The motivation was that once the application has the structures in memory, it does not make much sense to change the structure to write it to this, since this new persistent medium has the same byte addressable as memory, so it should just treat them as objects.
Yeah.
With something about the persistent cube that we can provide is the same lines. We're using the device, but without changing the
form.
And the versioning is very well explored. I remember the last class conference, they were talking about this tree that they use that allows you to version and adding like that structure.
And which paper was that? Is it was it a short paper or a work in progress thing? Or
no, I mean, FAST last year when we went to Sunset, there was this presentation of students.
B+3 or something. Oh, yeah,
that presentation.
I think it was B+3 or something like that, I don't remember.
Some B3 structure.
Some B3 structure that allows you to create different versions of an interlinked that structure.
But the beauty is that each node has some copyright stuff and a version number associated with every modification they created.
But that's what a B3
so
tree. Right? And it allows you to keep as many versions as you want or a subset of versions.
But that's for a B3.
Yeah, but to me that seems pretty narrow, right?
No, I think supporting a link that I started.
I'm not sure.
I didn't understand.
I think it was yes for B3s. That's my what I got.
I didn't understand the paper because for me it was just something adding to that tree structure. And
what is the name of the paper? Do you remember?
It's like something persistent
B-tree.
It should be in the list.
Something, yeah.
Of the papers presented.
But then in that case it would make sense to talk about the version, right? Because it's for version of any data structure.
Yeah.
I think we read that paper.
Yeah,
that
we read that paper. Consistent.
This is again for byte addressable memory. We're talking about byte addressable memory, right? But
right. But my understanding is that that set that they use, which is not developed by them, will allow you to have version. I mean, link that structure.
Yeah, but if
let's
I
see this years, just to.
If I understand correctly, this was for specific structures and not...
Yeah, that's what I remember.
That's the one. They had that versioning number on top of them.
Yeah. So this is very specific for B3. Right? They're not doing this for in random structure. It's for very specific structures.
So that's good, I guess. Because if they got that paper, we can...
I think that paper got in by luck.
Yeah, so the versioning, combining the versioning with the out of core, I don't see that as a very nice fit there. Or maybe it's just because we are too into this project that we know how different they are, that we don't see how they integrate very well. If we raise our level of abstraction, we'll start looking at things more openly.
Even the implementation is completely apart, one part from the out-of-core lima versioning.
Well, I do remember that we wanted the out-of-core to get versioning or something like that.
The switch operation.
Right.
But it was just because it was easier to switch chunks of memory than pages of memory. And the out-of-core implementation will require changing the memory allocator from just allocating pages.
Yeah.
That was the only relation. It will simplify the switch implementation, but they are not related.
I think we have to start thinking again reverse in terms from the application. Like if we think in that way, then it will be easier for us to sell anything we come up with, because we're starting with the end product. right? So which application or applications are going to generate the most interesting discussion for or use for SoftPM?
Maybe version control systems. But those are very complex.
Version control systems.
Those are very complex.
But in the end, they do that. That I mean, all they do can be expressed in terms of the data structures that they write to describe.
This is D, so we are looking three, to link that server. But I don't know, because if the design is very specific and it's very optimized for the type of tool that the type of things
yeah.
can do, so I don't think we're going to have any performance gain there.
You mean an SDN?
I think that's for some other type of system, because that one are usually highly optimized.
Yeah, I think also the application, if it's broad, then it's more interesting than something which is very, or for instance, a specific application, right? I'm thinking more in terms of the property of the application or that we are helping or simplifying. Right, not in terms of specific application. How do we apply this idea? And where all does it apply? And then we can work back, say, okay, what are the things that we can combine together and what makes sense to include with and what? How can we better focus?
I remember in the other paper, not in the MBEs, in the, I forgot the name of the other, Manosign.
Mm-hmm.
They modified LDAP so that
that's right.
Yeah. So that, and they have the code for that. I remember I downloaded it once.
Modify LDAP for what?
To write to the PCM instead of the disk.
Mm-hmm.
But that
and
is another highly optimized.
So LDAP is sort of a it's also a B3 and it's highly optimized because it's key value store too. But it's server. It's stateful.
Okay.
It's stateful. Are you sure?
Yeah, LDAP is persistent.
Yeah, but the
because you
the
can
connection
connect to
is
it.
Not as. I don't think so. I think you send
well, probably
each
the
request.
The connection is not
authenticated
stateful,
again. Yeah, like NFS. No, I don't think that it will maintain a session per user.
Yeah, probably it doesn't maintain a session, but still it's something that you can
how easy it is for a user nowadays to have different versions of the file for a regular user. You have to create a backup something like that, or
there are some file systems that allow you to do that.
Create snapshots and then go back to them.
Yeah, but it's usually
to use the time machine of Apple.
No.
But that would mean you create an entire backup, or you choose to say, I want to backup this directory, and then you choose to backup, create a new backup.
But it will continue creating versions.
It does so every hour for the entire file system. But I don't think that's what you're talking about. You're talking about specific files.
Yeah, let's say I create a folder, and then everything I throw in there, I can create multiple versions. But then from that you can use a version control system. So
that's what Time Machine does. If you're selecting a folder.
Yeah, but it does. Yeah. Yeah, but it does it on an interval base, not on a modification.
No, you can manually choose to run the Time Machine, right? And say, okay, now I'm done with my changes. Run now, right?
Yeah.
For a regular user, time interval is your best thing. You don't want to be forcing this.
I think that we have now a very powerful hammer, right? And we're looking for nails to hit it with. That's what we are, which is interesting. I think it's
that means that we haven't spent enough time showing the hammer to enough people.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, the more people say, oh, that's, I could do this and this with that hammer. So maybe we should spend some time doing that. When you get solid,
I think if you get it published, then you get a lot of feedback, right? But I've sort of talked to many people, and some of the people, for instance, were interested to see, okay, with all the memory closure and all that, to see how, you could build some kind of debugging tools and that sort of stuff, right, for memory analysis. Can you do something more interesting than, let's say, Valgrind? I think we can do memory closure visualization and that sort of stuff, right? Where is that interesting? And how can it be used? So I got that feedback once. Especially the DOE.
That seems like one simple operation. I mean, that doesn't even go into the persistence stuff.
I think just answering Leonardo's query about showing the hammer to people and see what they come up with, right? I think that was one, and then. I think that when I was giving the talk at Sandia, there was one guy who was really interested in the versioning capability for security, because he was doing something where he thought it would be useful to have version everything and how his data structures change, right? And of course he wouldn't say what exactly he was doing, because it was classified. And then there were other people who were interested in the branching capability, being able to run multiple simultaneous threads of execution that do different things. Right, that branch out and do different things based on how state evolves inside the process. And they found those.
That would be useful for this predictive execution. If you try to go ahead, go to a branch and through before knowing, I don't remember how it's called that.
Speculative execution.
Speculative.
Mm-hmm.
You can branch in both. And
yeah.
Not just in one.
I see what you mean. But then sometimes it's not a binary decision that you're branching on. If you have I guess there is some guessing involved, right? So you have to speculate what the answer is going to be. And
because in regular speculative execution, you always pick just one branch, right?
Okay.
While you are executing the real code.
Yeah.
C code.
Yeah.
Maybe if it's possible to branch, go in several.
Yeah. I think that's worth thinking about a little bit more, the branching capability. Because what we are talking about is memory state branching. Right? And so there is a shared state that all branches share. But then after a certain point, when they start doing different things, they start diverging in that shared state. Or at least some part of it, at least the container, the state that's within the container.
And we explore those branches in parallel.
Mm-hmm. And now it makes sense because you have many cores, right?
So you're forcing the execution?
Yeah, in some sense. You could do it with a fork as well. You could do this with a fork as well. So the question is, what is the benefit of forking at the container granularity versus the process granularity, right? So So I think those are the kinds of directions that we could think more about and see where are the applications.
I guess it will be the immediate response, right? Why can't you just fork the application?
Why don't you just fork?
Right. We say then right, because we make things persist more efficiently.
But we need to fork also. How are we going to execute two different branches? The things that we are going to persist both things.
Yeah.
But in regular.
We don't do a fork. We can manage the containers within threads, right? So we don't need to create a new process.
The whole solution doesn't also need to.
Because it shares the heap, so they both modify the same heap. And in our case, I haven't really thought through this very well. So. But this is worth thinking more about. We haven't thought about execution branching at all. But I would like for us to see if we can make something out of our versioning and out of core implementation before we start exploring branching.
In our case, for solving that, we will have at least have some way to clone the container for the new thread.
Yes.
That it will just create copy and write copies of everything in the container, and every modification will create this branch.
We created some API already for the branching, right? The clone API was involved.
So we never figure out what was clone.
We never thought about how we would implement it. And I think that's okay, because I think it's important to do this gradually. And although I was the one who brought up branching, I think it's only because there were some people who were asking me about it at Sandia. But I think we should still think about out of core and versioning and how we can sell those ideas before we start looking at branching.
Personally, I don't see versioning going well with out of core, but then branching will include versioning.
Yeah.
So it might be difficult to sell versioning by itself or with out of core.
How about selling out of core by itself? Can we sell out of core by itself?
I don't know that. But for the part of versioning, I guess it would be delayed until in the future we'll have some branching and it will include all the versioning part. In the case that we don't figure out how to mix it with our core.
Well, I see branching and versioning as complementary, right? So they could both be independent as well. So branching could be independent of versioning.
Yeah, the thing is, what is another thing? Just versioning. Oh, well, taking into account this paper, it could be Excel also. But I guess there is no much knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to think about it more.
How many systems should they implement in version for any kind of structure?
What do you mean by any kind of structure?
Without imposing a structure, versioning for features.
I think you design that a service to support versioning of something in particular.
But not nothing.
Which is more complex than, you stop being that you care about your data structure to your compilation and then the versioning is implemented for you. But implementing versioning is not trivial.
No, you need to take care of checkpoints and stuff.
Especially the workflow, if you have to make things persistent, which you have to, right? Otherwise there's no version.
Yeah. I think we need to have more discussion about applications of versioning and our applications are out of Cori, right? So let's brainstorm about these two in the next few weeks, right? And then maybe a direction will emerge after we go through these discussions.
Okay.
All right, guys. So let's meet next week then. Is everyone around next week?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you are leaving next Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right,
good. So you're not going to be here on Friday, right?
Yeah, no, unfortunately not.